we appreciate that. Appreciate both of those songs. I like those old remake songs. I believe that was made from Overlooked or Found an Orchid by Overlooking the Rose. Am I right on that, Billy? They get, where'd Billy go?
He's right here.
Oh. I like those old remakes because that means so much. And Mike is so talented in writing songs about real life. And I appreciate that. I appreciate each of you. And Mike, I tell you, I told the girls the other day, we sung a song last week, and they said, well, you reckon they'd sing with me? And almost say, it's about time that they sung with somebody else. So I think that, yeah, they will sing with you. Yes, I'll speak on their behalf. They will sing with you. It'll be a great refreshing for them, for someone who can sing. If you will, I want you to turn with us to the 26th Psalm, one of my favorite psalms, and we'll be reading portions of that. But I won't leave this thought with you today, how to start right and stay right. How to start right and stay right. And a lot of folks today, I believe the reason that they don't finish well, they didn't start right. And we're going to talk about how to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And as you well know, the psalmist David, he had his ups and his downs. I'm glad to tell you today in this psalm that he has got his life straightened out, and he is able to serve the Lord again. But there's some simple things that I believe that we need to know. And I'm going to read just a verse or two of this, and we'll be making reference back to it. And that's the 26th Psalm and verse 1, if you will. And if you'd like to stand and honor God's word as we read it, that would certainly, God would bless you for it. I want to thank each one that had anything whatsoever to do with Vacation Bible School. God truly blessed. And I want to give him the honor, and I want to give you the thank you. And as we read God's word right here, the Bible reads such as, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in thy and my integrity. But look at this. I have trusted also in the Lord. And I'd like for the church to repeat the rest of that. Therefore, I shall not slide. That means so much to me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your blessed word today. We just ask, Lord, that as we walk on this slippery slope that we know is life today, Father, we know that it's a straight and narrow way in which we walk, Lord. And we know there's dangers out there, Father, but we just pray that you'd keep our feet aright, Lord, and that you'd help us as we walk through this journey. And Father, we just pray that you'd go and that you'd watch over each one. And Father, that you would touch each one, Father, and that your will might be done in each and every life. For these things we ask in the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Beloved, you may be seated at this time. You know, I bring this message to you today by great inspiration. You know, after a sinner has turned to Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he has experienced should remain fresh, real, and alive throughout his heart. And it's God's will, by the way, this morning, that every Christian live in victory. I want you to turn that person next to you and say, live in victory. That's God's will for your life. You are not built for defeat. You are not built to lose the battle because God has equipped you to live a victorious life. But let's notice, if you will, this morning, some steps that we must take in order to live that Christian life. I want to first of all tell you today that there's something that you need to do today. If you've been saved by the grace of God and God's living in your heart, you need to nail that down in the Gabriel into your heart to the fact that you are saved. Amen. I want you to note today that not long after you had a salvation experience, the first thing that the devil come was whisper in your ear that there wasn't nothing to that. Forget about all about that over there, but I'm glad today to tell you by the authority of God's word that God eternally saves today. That God saves you. He seals you. Why do I say that today? Because it's his salvation and not yours to begin with. You can't lose something you never had. Nailed down in the end of your life. Now I'll tell you what the Bible had to say in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 15. The Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse 16, I'm talking about little John, it said, these things are written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, the reason a lot of folks don't think they're saved, they've never read enough of God's word to convince themselves of the fact they are saved. Amen. Are you with me just for a moment? We men are the worst in the world not to read instructions. Amen. You know, you women, I remember we used to get things together and we'd go to putting them together and I'd just fly in there and amazing thing, I'd always have something left over. And Denise would badger from the beginning to the end. Why don't you read the instructions? And those are some words that men hate to hear, by the way, women. We do not like to hear you say, why don't you read the instructions? Because we end up with parts left over and we custom build stuff by doing that. We invent things by doing that. So we don't like to read the instruction book, but I'll tell you today that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is by the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And if you want to know where you're saved, you better get in the book and find out. Listen. Y'all remember Jacob and Esau? Y'all remember how they went into their dad over there when he was old over there and how that one of them was tricked out of a bowl of beans and he gave away his birthright. And it said over there, and listen to me today, it said over there that to deceive his father Isaac, he went in there because his brother was hairy. He put some sheep wool on him. He noticed right off the back, he said, I hear you. He's trying to disguise his voice. Said, but your voice is a voice. It's not Esau. It's Jacob. He said, but let me come and feel. He said, but you're hairy. And to say that is to say this. We better listen to the words instead of feelings. Amen? Feelings will deceive you. How something feels is not always how it is real. Amen? See, a lot of folks over there, somebody thinks when you get saved, there's bells and whistles goes off and there's fireworks goes off and all these things. I'll tell you, every one of you will work out your own salvation with fear and tremble because it's the most intimate, the most individual thing that will ever happen to you. What do I remember about being saved? I remember the load coming off, amen. I remember the burden being lifted. I remember those things. There wasn't no fireworks. There wasn't nothing over there. There wasn't no shouting in the house. There wasn't nobody walking the pews over there. Why is that? And how do I know I'm saved? It's not by feelings. It's by the word of God. It said these things are written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. Hey, listen, you may be saved, you may not be saved, but I tell you what, I'd read and study the Word of God to find out if I am saved. And I'll tell you the reason why. That book won't let you down. That book will not steer you wrong. That book over there will not change things. You know, in John chapter 6 and verse 47, the Bible says this, "He that believeth in me hath everlasting life." I know one of the great doctrinal differences between some of the churches in Western North Carolina is this thing of eternal salvation and not eternal salvation and all like that. I don't think it amounts to a hill of beans. I think it all that matters is if you are saved. That's kind of like talking about the cow when the gate's already been opened and he's got running through the woods. It don't matter who left the gate open. Cow's gone anyhow. But Jesus Christ wants you to figure that out. How do you figure that out? By reading and studying God's Word. We can nail down the fact that we're saved. Because I'll tell you what, when I say how to start right and stay right over there, if there's a doubt in your mind and there's a thought in there and the devil comes to you and say, what he'll do is he'll take away your effectiveness as a Christian. You need to nail that down in your heart. I'm saved. I'm either saved or I'm lost, but I'm going to find out. How do I find out? You read the book. Not only we need to nail down the fact that we're saved, we need to walk in God's truth. The Bible said over there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, he said this, "As newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby." Reason why a lot of folks don't start out right, they didn't start eating right, amen. They didn't feast upon the right thing over there. And it said that we feast upon the sincere milk of the word that we might grow thereby. Hey, you raise your kids on cell phones. You raise your kids on all these things. You raise your kids on all that. And you never give them that. And you wonder why they turn out like they do. I'm going to go back a little way. Some of y'all will have no idea what I'm talking about. How many of y'all remember Neil Gibbons? Well, there are some old folks in here today. Amen. All right. Besides me. He was a man over there that come on there. And the only thing I know that he was famous for was a commercial. And he'd come on there and he'd advertise some kind of cereal. Grape nut cereal. And he would talk about that many parts of the pine cone are very edible. You are what you eat. It's what we remember about Neil Gibbons. That was his great line. You are what you eat. That's true today. We feed upon the things of God. We get closer to God. We feed upon the Word of God. We get to know Him just a little bit better. We feed upon the things of God. You just step up a little bit closer. You feed upon the things of the world. And you get a little further apart. You feed upon the things of the world. And the things of God start becoming foreign to you. That's why that he told the devil over there on the mount over there, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Spend time in God's word. Why is that? First of all, you'll know who your Father is. You'll know who your Father is. Second of all, you'll know when your birthday is. And third, he'll equip you to grow thereon. You know, walking in God's truth, living each day in the will of the Lord. No wonder the psalmist David said, I have trusted in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. You know, it's a narrow trail that we're walking on in this world. The Bible says that the way to eternity is narrow, and few shall find it. It said, but the way to destruction is broad, and many walk therein. The Bible also says it's a crooked way. I don't know about you, but you know, if you're on something narrow and you're on something crooked over there, the last thing you want to do is slide, slip. Because I tell you what, how many of y'all ever been to the Grand Canyon? They've got trails out there. If you slip on one of them trails, you will starve to death before you hit the bottom. It's a long ways to the bottom. You don't want to slip on this narrow path we're walking on. Now, David knew that over there. He said, judge me, O God, for I have walked, what, in my integrity. We're living in a time where you don't see much integrity, do you? Well, we're living in times over there where, you know, people tell you something, you don't take that to the bank, amen, because they can't cash that baby. We're living in times over there you can't trust nobody. I don't care. You can't, you know, these people over there, if they told me it's raining, I wouldn't run to get my umbrella. I'd have to go outside and look. People don't have a lot of integrity anymore. But notice over there, he said, Lord, judge me in my integrity. Then he went on to say, I have trusted in the Lord, wherefore I shall not slide. You know, I'd love to come back to a point in time in my life when all we had to do to have a deal was a handshake. All we had to do to seal a contract was just give me your word. I remember growing up when most of the loans in Clay County had no collateral. Why is that? The bank didn't want to fool with it. Why is that? It's because a man's word was all the collateral that was needed. Never will forget the first car that I ever bought in my life. I went down to Tom Day, down here at Wachovia Bank. I walked in there to Tom Day. I was a little old kid. I had two jobs over there, and I wanted to buy a car. And I went in there, and Tom Day looked at me, and he said, son, you're Johnny Shelton's boy, ain't you? I said, yes, sir, I sure am. He said, you ever borrow any money? I said, no, I've never borrowed any money. He said, I know your daddy, and I know that he pays his bill. I know that his word is good. He said, I'm going to give you a car loan on your daddy's name. Don't you mess his name up, amen. You know what? I didn't mess his name up, but I made every payment on that thing, and it was loaned on the account that my integrity passed on from my daddy to me, and he hoped that it'd pass on to their daddy and them, and their daddy and them, and their daddy and them. We shortchanged somebody's summers. Amen. We'll slip because God judges our integrity. Psalmist David, he went on to say over there, he said, examine me, O Lord, improve me. Try my reins in my heart, for thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked and the truth. That I may publish, I'm in verse 7, with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of thy wondrous works. I tell you something else, beloved. Not only do we need to nail down the fact that we're saved, not only do we need to walk in God's truth, but we need to love the church. Amen? Amen. We need to love the church. Hey, listen, a lot of folks think that you can serve the Lord at home. I've got sad news against you. That ain't in the Word of God. Some people think, well, I can sit at home and I can watch the TV preacher. I'm telling you, that might sound good, but that's not in the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what the Word of God has to say about that. The Bible says over there in Psalm chapter 26 and verse 8, happen to be where I'm at right now. It said, Lord, I love the habitation of thy house and the place where thy honor dwelleth. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell your parents something just for a moment. Listen up now. I'm going to make somebody mad, but it's time to do that. I'm going to make some parent mad here today. Did your children get up this morning and look at you and say, are we going to church today? Because if they did, you fail somewhere. Mom and Dad, that ought to be an assumption. Every Sunday. They don't get up and say, well, are we going to church or are we going to school? Why is that? Because it's so mundane and so expected of them. But if your children got up this morning and said, are we going to church today? You got some work to do in your house today. And they should tell you, my kids all growed up, and I'm glad they turned out. They had a drug problem growing up. We drug them to every meeting in the world, didn't we, Nish? I tell you, we drug them to church, and we drag them here, and they had a drug problem. They were drug into the house of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says this, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Listen, nail down that you're saved. Walk in the truth and fall in love with the church. You better learn to love the church. We're stuck with each other. You say, I don't much like that preacher. You better get over it because I'm gonna be there. If you're going to be, you have to put up with me for eternity. Love the church. By the way, there's not but one church. Did you know that? There's one body of Christ. There's one body of Christ. Those who have been saved by the grace of God, crosses all denominational lines, crosses all thought patterns over there. But those that are saved today will make up the church. We're a church. I'm talking about the church. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. For as many as led by the Spirit of God are called the sons of God. That's Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as led by the Spirit of God are called the sons of God. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. If you haven't found it in the Bible, it's not a secret to me. It's a secret to you now if you've never read that. But I've got news for you that when God saves you, God equips you, and God endows you with the Holy Spirit. Amen. What keeps me in line? Number one, the Spirit of God. Number two, the truth of God. Number three, Denise Shelton. you cannot live a Christian life. If God did not endow you with the Holy Spirit, it would be an impossibility to live a life for Him. Hey, John chapter 16 and verse 13 said this, how beeth he, and by the way, the Spirit of God is a he. It's not a it. It's not some mystical thing. It is a third part of the Trinity. When the beginning, when man was created and God was creating the world, when he said, let us make man in our image, it was talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all three in one. And it is a he. Howbeit he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead you into all truth. Listen, there's a lot of things that's coming down the pike over there that you don't know whether there's any substance to it or not. You don't know if there's any truth to it or not. But let's go back over there. Remember, trust the words and not the feelings, because the truth will come out through the Spirit of God. Amen. You don't have to question it. You don't have to wonder about it. And we're running out of time. And I'll tell you another thing. If you want to start well and finish well, you've got to learn to live a separated life. Bible said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, he said this, he that love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. He went on to say, if any man loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I tell you, it's tough just being a pilgrim in a foreign land. Amen. I got news for you today. Did you know that the Bible says that your citizenship is in heaven? So if you're not a citizen, what does that make you? It makes you an alien. Now, whether we're documented or undocumented, I don't know, but that's a different message. But your citizenship is in heaven. In other words, your citizenship, why is that? Because I was born of the Spirit of God. My citizenship is in heaven. So is yours today. Hey, listen. So we're pilgrims, or we're sojourners coming through a foreign land, and we won't treat it like home. It's not home. Hey, listen. You know, he also said over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I don't know if I got any environmentalists here today or not, or I got any tree huggers, but I'm going to break your bubble right there. And I know we're going out on the internet, and I'll probably get flack over that, but hey, I don't care. This thing's disposable, and it's temporary. I hate to break it to you. The Bible says that it will burn with a fervent heat that will be so hot that even the very elements will be burned up. This is not a permanent place. So don't get too attached to it, because it's not going to last forever. Amen. And we have to live a separated life while we're walking here. Said, what does that mean? I don't have anything to do with sinners. No, it means the exact opposite of that. We have everything to do with sinners. Well, what do we do? We walk as Christ walked before the lost. Do you ever notice how that he always ended up eating at a sinner's house? I don't know if they had better food back then, and the good people did. I don't know, but you know, every place he went, I don't know if they had better groceries or what it was, but he always ended up at mealtime, if you look in the Bible, eating with sinners. We are in the world. We're not of the world. See, you're the only Bible a lot of folks ever read. So, hey, listen, when you go out into the world, you're demonstrating Christ, you're exemplifying Christ over there, and that is our ministry as we walk through this world, living that separated life. In other words, see, I remember when I got saved, I had a little problem with alcohol. I had a little problem with this, and I had a little problem with that, and I had a little problem with that. I want to tell you something today. You know God can take a taste of it away. My wants to changed, amen. I didn't want to do that no more. Not that I couldn't do it. Somebody told me the other day, he said, preacher, I'd be at Mossville Moore Church when you put in a smoking section. I said, you best worry about hell because there is a smoking section down there. He said, I'd like to quit. I said, well, I can help you with that. I know one over there that has the power. I know one over there that can help you out. I know one over there that can help you in every way over there because I know one that can take a taste away. Better than Nicorette or whatever that stuff's called. Spend much time in prayer. If you want to start right and you want to stay right, and you want to end right, you'll do it on your two knee bones. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7, it gives us a great challenge. It says, pray without ceasing. How in the world do I pray without ceasing? Well, you know, I get up in the morning, I talk to the Lord. I go to bed of the night, I talk to the Lord. And in between, all day long. I never will forget one time. How many of y'all ever know Roger Davenport? Roger had the most humble prayer of anybody I ever heard pray. Had somebody in the church one time said, I had to open my eyes to see if God was right there with him. I said, I did, and he was. Amen. He calls up. Listen. Pray without ceasing. See, Jesus Christ is the best friend you'll ever have. He's the best friend you'll ever know. He's closer to you than a brother, the Bible says. If you can't talk to him, you can't talk to nobody. So why not pray with him all the time? Jesus said that we have not because we ask not. That's in James chapter 4 and verse 2. We have not because we ask not. You know, oftentimes we use the Lord like a spare tire. How many of you folks have got a spare tire in your car? How many of you folks know whether or not you got iron in your spare tire? If you didn't check it this morning, you don't know. You might have a rim and a carcass on it with no iron. And I'm going to tell you, a rim and a carcass is useless if you ain't got no iron in it. A lot of times we want to use Jesus just like an old spare tire. We just go back there. We only use him in emergency. When all the other four are up and everything's looking good, we'll just leave that spare over there. And we won't bother that spare none. But I tell you, that's why that prayer comes important. It keeps the iron in that tire, amen? Hey, listen, when you need to call upon him, he'll be ready. Communication is everything. And I tell you, in serving the Lord, communication is everything. Pray without ceasing. Ask. And Jesus said this. He said this over there in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. He said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Think about how we always use him as a last resort when he ought to be the first thing we do. Be the first thing we do. As a matter of fact, most of the time we get in trouble if we'd have prayed about it to begin with and asked the Lord to lead and guide us, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. Last thing, I know I'm out of time, but I've enjoyed preaching it. Whether you've enjoyed listening to it or not, it really don't matter, but I've enjoyed preaching it today. What we need in 2019, in closing, we need a faithful witness. See, folks don't have no confidence in the Lord because folks have not got no confidence in the Lord's people. Amen? That probably hurt somebody. Listen, be a faithful witness. What the Bible had to say over there in Mark chapter 5 and verse 19 was this. He said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Now that's what we do to stay right. Tell your friends the great things that the Lord has done for thee. I'm over about 5 or 7 minutes or whatever it is, and I know that's why I've got a clock back there and you don't have a clock up here. So I'm gonna already tell you we've run over a little bit. But you know, you ask the Lord, you ask God's people, and I tell you, I've seen this change. I've been preaching for 40 years, and I've seen it change dramatically in the last 20. You can give an invitation, and you can ask for testimony, and if you're in that service about 10 or 15 minutes early, people will testify. You stay over 15 or 20 minutes, they will stand there and they will look at their watch and say, of all things, he now wants me to testify and he's already run over 10 minutes late. Now I'm telling you the truth, people. If you want to stay right as the Lord, you ought to have something to say about it. Go home to thy friend. Y'all feel at home here today? Is everybody friends here except maybe Kyle and Rob? I still ain't heard what went on. We're at home and we have friends. Now, if we want to stay right, what does it say? And tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee. People don't testify much no more. You know what leads me to believe? If you ain't got anything to testify, then you don't have anything to say, you must not have anything to testify to. See, the Bible called us, he said, go into all the world and be what? Witness. What are we a witness to? Great things that the Lord hath done. You know, that'd be a very, very short book right there if men would not have told what great things the Lord hath done. See, you're part of the gospel today. See, what God is doing in your life is a gospel to someone else. What's the word gospel means? Good news. Good news. Y'all come up here and play a verse or two of a song. They're really getting anxious since I already told them they're late. Sing a couple of verses, if you will, something. I'm going to challenge you to do something today. You say, I don't have nothing to say. I tell you what, then that means that you're lost if you ain't got nothing to say. Hey, if all that I had to say was that the Lord saved me, that's good news. That's great news. That's something worth shouting from the rooftop. But I believe that there's someone here who don't have a testimony because they've never knelt before God and asked God to come into their lives and change their lives and work a miracle in their lives. And listen, God will give you something that you can shout from the rooftops. God will give you something over there that no one else has ever heard of. But I want you to sing a verse of a song. And if you need to come this altar, I'm going to ask that you come. Make everything right, get started right, that you might end right. And hey, listen, I'm going to challenge you today. And we might be here for a while. I'm going to challenge you today to stand up and say something on behalf of the Lord today. Hey, I'm putting it on your back. I'm done. Let's sing. 111. Let's stand as we sing. 111. Listen, y'all, come on. Don't wait. Don't wait. God spoke in your heart. You come right on down here to this altar. You come right on. Me near the cross. Bless him, Lord. The prayer just found. Paul, is there anything I need to? Come on.